Chapter 1. Losing Your Ship Without Losing Your Soul. Only those who are lost will find the Promised Land. Rabbi Abraham Heschel. We are all in the same boat in a stormy sea, and we owe each other a terrible loyalty. G.K. Chesterton. The experience of drowning through the lens of faith is what Christians call baptism. But no matter what you call it, the sensation of going under is entirely the same. It was Easter Sunday at the church I founded in my hometown. I had preached on the first words of Jesus when he appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. Do not be afraid. I said you could sum up the whole of God's message to humans throughout Scripture and throughout history in those four words. Do not be afraid. I told our people these are words that are spoken when it would seem to us we have every reason in the world to be afraid, that God speaks them when he's about to do something new. And in the midst of this sermon on death and resurrection, I announced that I was leaving. I felt like I was the pastor who stole Easter. Of course, there was a part of me that felt ridiculous announcing my departure on the Sunday with the biggest attendance of the year, when everybody had dressed up and brought their friends. But I was not going to keep grabbing every rung of the ladder on the way down, trying to salvage the unsalvageable. I was not going to stay plugged into the ventilator. The only message I could preach was the only message my life could be at that point. And it was the message of death and resurrection. Painful as it was, I knew this had to be my last sermon. I could not drag the ending out any further. I was over. I told my congregation I would be there the next Sunday for a transition service, but I would not preach again. The message of death and resurrection had finally grabbed hold of me, not in the way it grabs hold of a preacher, but in the way it grabs hold of a man. I had no idea what I was walking into. I was stepping into a starless night. I only knew it was time to cash in all my chips on the hope that resurrection could be a better existence than the one I was sort of maintaining. At the conclusion of both services, I baptized people for the last time at this church I had founded and given my life to. I felt the holiness of each of them as I gently lowered their bodies into the water, the tour guide for their own descent. I was almost done baptizing people when Heather came out of her pew with lips quivering, her face contorted in anguish. We had just buried her father, Herman, a few weeks before, and everything about his early departure was filled with ambiguity. It had been a torturous ride for her. The ordeal of her father's fall, the many hours in the hospital, the celebration that he was better and resuming normal life, then the second tragic turn that led to serious decline, the weight of the decision to pull the plug. Heather kicked off her flip-flops when she got down front and practically threw her cell phone onto the stage. As she took off her glasses and I helped her into the pool, it was not the cherubic look of a new convert on her face, excited about some new faith in Jesus. It was the mix of resignation, heartbreak, and an almost angry determination. Yet, this kind of hope, too, that if she could jump into the river that carries us towards death, that there could be new life for her, too. Already my nerves were jangled and my heart tender, the day being what it was. But baptizing Heather that day was something other entirely. I can't bear to not capitalize that. It was something other. It was my last opportunity to perform one of the sacraments I held most dear, to wash my hands in the holiness of God's sons and daughters. Heaven was skidding into the ground, and the people just kept coming.